Yeah, praise the Lord for, if you don't believe God answers prayer, there's a great example, because doctor said best case scenario, you're going to be in there a week, and you're out Friday? Did you get out Friday? Praise God. Yeah. So, I know we were praying for a couple other things. Tanya, how's your mom? Okay. Well, praise God for that. And then we had a prayer chain request for Vanessa yesterday. Did anybody know how that is going? Dorothy, do you know how that's going?
She's a lot better. She's taking several shots, and she's doing it.
Praise God. All right. Lord certainly does answer prayer. Would you take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 67 through 79, but we're going to focus mainly on verses 78 and 79 this morning, but I want to read the whole context. We have the prophecy of Zacharias. And his father, Zacharias, that's the father of John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before his face, before the face of the Lord, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So I want to talk to you today about hope. And hope has come. And hope is our day spring. And Jesus is our day spring. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the scripture today. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would quicken your words to our heart this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of things we could say about hope. Hope is knowing someone believes in you and will never quit on you. Hope is the anchor to life. The word that keeps us going in all seasons of life. Hope sees the present moving toward a good future, even with its imperfections. Hope has come, and we have received this hope in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what it says there. This is the message taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Jesus is our day spring, our sunrise, the one who changes our day and opens up new seasons of life. We'll look at some things, some powerful things that the day spring of hope has to offer. At the university, there was a piano teacher that was simply and affectionately known as Herman. One night at a university concert, a distinguished piano player suddenly became ill while performing an extremely difficult piece. No sooner had the artist retired from the stage when Herman rose from his seat in the audience, walked on stage, sat down at the piano, and with great mastery completed the performance. Later that evening at a party, one of the students asked Herman how he was able to perform such a demanding piece so beautifully without notice and with no rehearsal. He replied, "In 1939, when I was a budding young concert pianist, I was arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. Putting it mildly, the future looked bleak. But I knew that in order to keep the flicker of hope alive that I might someday play again, I needed to practice every day. I began by fingering a piece from my repertoire on my bare board bed late one night. The next night I added a second piece, and soon I was running through my entire repertoire. I did this every night for 5 years. So happens that the piece I play tonight at the concert hall was a part of that repertoire. The constant practice is what kept my hope alive. Every day I renewed my hope that I would one day be able to play music again on a real piano and in freedom. Hope is the thing that keeps us going, isn't it? It's when there is no hope that people give up and are in despair. Well, so hope is our day spring. And this hope has come. Hope, the confident expectation and firm assurance of things that even though they are unclear and unknown, and they're things that we cannot see, things that we have not yet received, but there's that confident expectation that this will happen. Hope is real. Hope is real. How do I know that hope is real? Because as a Christian, we have hope in a person, not in a philosophy. Our hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Because nothing is impossible with God. No matter how dark your situation, how impossible it might seem to man, with God, nothing is impossible. And so there's hope. Because God knows the future. God not only knows the future, but he is in control of the future. God is still in control. He's a sovereign God. He hasn't lost that sovereignty. He hasn't lost that power. And we have hope because God never forgets who I am. God never forgets who you are this morning. And there might be someone here, you're going through a dark trial, you're going through a time of darkness, and the only thing that you have hanging on to today is hope. I want you to know that your hope is steadfast, your hope is sure, because Jesus is involved in your life and he has not forgotten who you are. He has not forgotten you. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows exactly what you are going through today. He knows tomorrow. And he's already gone ahead of you into tomorrow. And when you get there, he'll be there for you. And that's why I believe that Jesus said, say, don't worry about tomorrow. Because I will be there not only in your todays, but I will be there into your tomorrows. Hope. Hope. Jesus is our dayspring of hope. Look at it again, Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. What an incredible thought that God would visit us. Psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But God hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus is our hope, and Jesus as our hope is our dayspring. We all have dayspring horizons coming into our life, and hope is the power of that dayspring experience. Let me define dayspring for you. It's the particular point on the horizon at which the sun comes up on any day. It's the dawning of a new day. It's changing the day into a new day. To it's daylight, to break day, to break out. It's a sunrise. Consider that thought, a breaking of a new day. Dayspring, what a beautiful word that is. Have you ever laid awake at night just waiting for the new day to begin? Just waiting for a new dawn? I know I have. You know, it's the times in the darkness of night that sometimes things really begin to get to you, and you play on your mind, and you lose sleep, and you just wish the night would get over and day would start. Have you ever watched it carefully? You ever been up at the break of dawn? I know some of you think that's just the sunset backwards. But it begins with a blackness settled against the earth like a suffocating blanket. The infernal quiet becomes almost oppressive. All of nature waits for a new beginning. The new day is struggling for birth from the nocturnal night, and at long last, the first shaft of light, first shaft of silver slips across the eastern horizon and begins to push back the darkness. The birds begin singing. Nature applauds the miracle as countless sounds of rejoicing can be heard. And then another small burst of light bursts forth, and another, and at long last, the shimmering figure of the sun begins to crest over the distant hills. It's dawn. It's a marvelous day spring. And for those who feel the day of miracles has ended, just watch the brilliance of the beginning of a new day, of each new day. It is God saying to the earth's inhabitants, rest easy, children, I'm still on the throne. The sun is still going to shine today. Here's my blessing. Here is a choice for another day. Enjoy it. Enjoy the dawning. But the springing forth also gives distance from the darkness of the past. Jesus Christ is the eternal dawn, the gift of God who brought light and sound to an earth that had gone 400 years without any direct link with God. Do you know that before this prophecy, before the day spring, before Jesus came, there were 400 years of complete silence. Darkness. God had not spoken. Theologians call it the great silent period. And in matters of spirit, it was indeed silent. But not to the historian. That 400 years, when there was no divine guidance, Alexander the Great conquered the East. Rome brought down its crushing iron heel for the first time against Carthage. The Maccabees raised their voice in armed revolt. General Pompey brought his Roman legions like locusts into Palestine. Octavian emerged as a ruler of the Roman world, and a diseased maniac by the name of Herod ascended the throne of Jerusalem. You talk about darkness. It was a dark period in the history of the world. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. But in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the eternal dayspring, was born of the Virgin Mary. Born in a lowly manger stall at Bethlehem. Just like the prophets of old had predicted. But it had been foretold also by the father of John the Baptist, the day spring from on high hath visited us. And you know, it was not a moment too soon. Could mankind have survived another moment without him? Could the breach that existed between God have gone another day without a direct connecting link? For I think not, because our Lord's birth came according to the divine plan, and the scripture says that in the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent his son into the world. At the exact moment of the greatest need, the greatest darkness, the epic darkness of history, God sent his son, God sent his daylight into our world. And with the day spring, a new life opens up, and somehow miraculously, the day spring is what is happening this moment on a one-on-one basis. Someone here today is in a dark time. I don't know if it's the darkest time of your life, but I know that there are some here today. It's a dark hour for you. And sometimes you wonder, can you survive another day without a connecting link to God? Can you survive another day when you consider the direction in which your life is heading? And here is the miracle. God is speaking. God is speaking directly to you, offering to meet you at the place of your need and offering to turn your nightmares of darkness into a dayspring of life by introducing you to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews told us matter-of-factly that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that which he could accomplish on earth during those days when his feet graced the sands of Galilee, he can accomplish at this very hour in your life. God is speaking directly to you, offering to you your dayspring, the Christ of God. The dayspring also gives us a new positive mindset about life in the future. It's a beginning of life without guilt. Yeah, you can be free of that guilt that is eating you alive. You'll need to confront the issues for that straight on, but you and I both know that you cannot do that alone. But with Christ, the God-given dawn that brings relief from the horrible darkness of life, you can do it. You can do it. It's the beginning of a life without guilt. So many people today walk around with the burden of guilt, and Jesus wants to take that guilt out of their lives. It's the beginning of a life without fear. Zacharias also prophesied that. You know, you ever stop and think about it? Fear is not, it's not rational. It is the momentary or sometimes lasting paralysis of the mind and body caused by a sudden crisis beyond their capability of handling. And when it becomes a lifelong habit, and there are people that just fear out of habit, they fear everything, it paralyzes their life beyond all comprehension. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus wants to set you free from fear. He's the dayspring. He's the dayspring. We have all kinds of fears, don't we? Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of people. We fear that our children might go to school someday and some maniac come with a gun and shoot them. They're not even safe in the school systems anymore. There seems to be no place that is safe. You go to the mall, there's shootings at the mall. You can't even stay at home, there's drive-by shootings. There seems to be no place of safety, and there's fear all around us, and sometimes we even fear ourselves. Fear eats and destroys. There are thousands of fears with which Satan gnaws at us, and none of the fears need to be tolerated because God says that perfect love casts out all fear. His perfect love revealed through Jesus Christ casts out our fear. Christ not only brings life to us, he is life. He is life. The life resides within us, and when we are born of the Spirit of God, it is Christ, the hope of glory, that banishes the fear. Only Christ can roll back the darkness of human life and bring in the brilliant sunshine of God's presence. It's also the beginning of life with purpose. The dayspring is the beginning of life. Now life has meaning. Now life has purpose. Here's the question I must answer. Here's the question you must answer. Why am I on earth at all? What's the purpose? Why are we even here? Am I just a biological happening? Where there is a divine purpose to all this existence. I tell you today that your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. You are not a biological accident. God knew you before you were born. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. Your life is to have meaning. You're not an accident. You are more than a glorified, evolved amoeba awash in the drift of human affairs. Why anyone would believe in evolution, I don't know. It's not very uplifting. Know that you came from a rock. You were just an accident. God says, no, you were not an accident. You are a person that the day spring. You are a person that Jesus Christ loves and cares deeply for. How do I know that? I know that because he died for you. And you cannot show greater love to another person than to lay down your life on their behalf. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you. While you and I were worthless, while you and I were yet sinners, enemies of God, Jesus Christ died for us. Isn't that something? The dayspring from on high has visited us. Do you know the great dayspring of humanity? Do you know Jesus Christ in a personal way? Have you confronted your guilt and your sin and let him come and forgive you of all of those things and wash away all that guilt and all that sin so that you can have a personal relationship with him? Has the dayspring visited you? And then another thing about the dayspring is a belief that things can change. That things can change. Things can get better. There is hope. The power of hope. Hope is to the soul what breathing is for living organisms. Dayspring hope is that motivation and power to produce change in one's life. It's a dynamic, energizing, and capable of simulating a strong confidence in God. It is hope that is alive and not dead. Let me share you just a bunch of scriptures here. I'm going to read quickly about hope. First of all, God is our hope. Psalm 43:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You ever been down and you really didn't know why? That's what the psalmist is talking about. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I feel discouraged. I don't know why I feel discouraged, but I do. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. Note to self, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42:11 says the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Twice God tells us this. Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There's the third time. Psalm 78:7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 71:5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 130, verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. So where do we find hope today? We find hope in God. We find it in God. There is no place apart from God where there is true and lasting hope. And hope is a gift from God because Jesus Christ, the dayspring of hope, is God's indescribable gift to us. We're also to hope in the Word of God. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Psalm 119, verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 119, verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Psalm 119, verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalm 119, verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Psalm 119, verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Psalm 130 and verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Do you think God wants us to get the idea that our hope is supposed to be in him and in his word? That's where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from God in being in his word. Our hope comes because of our belief in the resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a reason that we can put our hope in God. Could anything have been more impossible than to raise Jesus from the dead, to raise someone from the dead? I mean, that's as bad as it gets, right? And Jesus was dead for 3 days. And the powers of darkness tried to keep him in the grave. But death could not hold him. And Jesus raised victoriously from the grave on the third day. And I want you to know that if Jesus can raise from the dead, there's nothing in your life that is impossible for him. There is not a reason why you need to feel hopeless. If he can do that, he can do anything for you. If you're here today and you're in despair, put your hope in the right place. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, "My words will never pass away." Put your hope in Christ because of the power of the resurrection. And then hope in the God of hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I like that, abounding in hope. Not just hope, but more hope and more hope. This is a hopeful spirit upon a person. And here's the thing, hope is continual. Psalm 71 and verse 13, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." Psalm 131 verse 3 says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." Can I tell you what happens is this? You come here, you hear the word of God offering you hope. The Spirit of God is moving amongst us, giving you hope. And then when you leave here, the devil says, "That was just an emotional time." And you lose the hope. So what you need to do is you need to hide God's word in your heart. And you need to personally continue this relationship with the God of hope. Because when we slack off from our relationship with him, and when we are not in the word like we need to be in the word, the devil comes in. He has come to what? He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to steal you of your hope. And don't let that happen, because your hope needs to be continual. And the Dayspring hope is for living life. Dayspring hope is our protection against the darkness and pessimism. Biblical hope is vital to the heart of every believer. Without hope, we are doomed to an existence of darkness. Pessimism can be defined as an inclination to emphasize adverse aspects, conditions, and possibilities, or to expect the worst possible outcome. The doctrine that reality is essentially evil, the doctrine that evil overbalances happiness in life. Here's some quotes. "One who, when he has the choice of two evils, chooses both. A pessimist is one who feels bad when he feels good, for fear he'll feel worse when he feels better." Let that sink in. How about this one? "A pessimist is never disappointed." "Pessimism leads to weakness, optimism to power. A pessimist can hardly wait for the future so he can look back with regret." "Every dark cloud has a silver lining, but lightning kills hundreds of people each year who are trying to find it." despair.com. 1 Chronicles 29:15 says, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no hope abiding." I cannot think of a more sad situation than that. Job got to the point where he said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Hope is the thing that keeps us going. Who's our hope? God is our hope. Our dayspring hope is Jesus Christ. To believe in God and to believe in His Word. Yeah, you can smile through tears. You can rejoice in suffering. You can know that our end is not the end of the story. And we have hope to press on to end well and hope to finish. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope," or to give you an unexpected end. Dayspring hope is our spiritual resilience power against devastating disappointments. One man lost everything. Lost his house, lost his business, all his possessions in a fire. Put a sign on his property, "Everything lost except my wife, children, and hope. Business will resume as usual tomorrow." Hope thinks nothing different when despair tells us that difficult is insurmountable. Again, let's some scriptures. Job 14:7, "For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." Maybe you're here today and you've lost hope and you realize, "I need to get that hope back. But my hope has been cut down. Now what?" Your hope, like a tree, will sprout again, and the tender branch will not cease. Job 19, verse 10, "He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and my hope hath removed like a tree." Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." Lamentations 3:26, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Psalm 31:24, "Be of good courage, He will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." We could go on and on today, really. I got so many verses on hope that we could probably study hope all day long. Hope can be the thing that is our defense against destructive thoughts that attack us. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." Hope means that we expect. Our expectation is of God. Expectancy when things are otherwise hopeless. Even if the situation thing seems hopeless to us, we still expect God to move. There's still hope. Destructive, hopeless thoughts are from the pit of hell, people. A chain reaction of negative thought patterns, a single spark that begins a bonfire, an explosion of negative thoughts. That's what one thought can do. One negative thought can produce a bonfire of negative thoughts. No wonder Paul says that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but everything is against me. Tendency to jump to broad, overgeneralized conclusions about yourself or your circumstances. In other words, we tend to blow things out of bigger proportion than they really are. Nobody loves me. That's not true. Even if nobody else loved you, Jesus loves you. But I'm sure that there are others. We love you. Destructive, hopeless thoughts are from hell. Negative predictions, tendency to make highly negative, pessimistic predictions about the future for which there is no evidence and which result in increased despair and hopelessness. Jumping to negative conclusions, tendency to conclude the worst is the absence of substantial evidence. Tunnel vision, when a person focuses on selectively negative things, thoughts, details, begin to dwell on them and tune out positive aspects of a situation. Personalizing, tendency to assume that if something is wrong, you are at fault. This causes feelings of despair and hopelessness. You know, do you ever have to try real hard to think of negative things? No, you don't, do you? They're automatic. And the devil puts negative thoughts in our minds. And that's why Paul said we need to renew our minds. We are to have a renewed mind, a new way of thinking. And we don't have to let those negative thoughts stay there and determine a way of thinking for us. We can think God's thoughts. We can think God's word. We can put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope. And then the dayspring, hope, lifts our spirit to see a new day is ready to break. Again, Luke 1, 78 and 79, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I believe that God wants to visit us in a new and powerful way. The dayspring of hope wants to come and give hope to us once again. He wants to come and shine his light on us as we sit in the shadow of death, as we sit in darkness and danger and fear and hopelessness. Just this last week, we realize once again the darkness and the evil that has come upon our world in China, in Connecticut. I'm like Dan, I couldn't watch TV to see these faces of these children in Connecticut. Can I tell you though that our country, our world is free falling? We are in a free fall. And that's just the reality of it. There's the darkness, the greatest darkness before the dawn, though. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants to change all of this. He wants to be the dayspring of hope again. But we are in a free fall, and let me tell you that legislation, you cannot legislate morality. As tragic as what has happened is, it's because we have lost the dayspring. And the more we kick God out of public life, the more we kick him out of schools, the more we kick him out of government, the more we kick him out of our courts, the more we kick him out of our homes, the darker it's going to be. I was reading Joel Rosenberg's blog, and I thought it was a very good analogy to the days in which we are living. He said we are either going to have a Jonah hour or a Nahum hour. You know the story, right, with the Ninevites? God was going to destroy Nineveh, but he sent a reluctant prophet, Jonah, and Jonah went and preached. All he did was preach judgment, folks. He really never even gave them a chance to repent. He just said, judgment is coming. And the people fell on their knees. They put on sackcloth and ashes, and they repented, and God spared the nation. But then Nineveh later was destroyed. At a later time, Nineveh was destroyed. And you know the sad thing about the situation was that it says that one of the things that happened in Nineveh was that the shepherds were asleep. Nineveh fell asleep, and there was no one to warn them of God's coming judgment, and there was no one to warn them about repentance. I believe that if they would have repented, God would have spared them again. I really believe that. And I decided that I don't want to be guilty of being a shepherd who sleeps through the darkness. But I want to warn you. I want to warn you that if we continue on this path, is it too late? I don't know, but our culture needs to wake up. Because the problem, I was listening to Fox News yesterday, and I like Giuliani, but he said, let's not oversimplify this, what has happened. This is a complex issue. And I know what he was referring to. He was saying, let's not just legislate gun laws because it's not that simple. And I agree with that, but I also believe the answer is simple. The answer is Jesus Christ. And we need to invite him back into our country. And we need to invite him back in our world and into our lives. It's not just the United States of America that's free falling. It's our world. It's our world. And I know that the day spring is going to arise. I know Jesus is coming back. I know he is. He's going to come back in his second coming. Make no mistake about it. The lamb is going to come back as a lion at that time. But my prayer is that he comes back and visits us again before that time. That we have another great awakening and a spiritual revival that would take place. But the only way it's going to happen is if we realize that we need to have a Jonah moment and invite God back into our world. And I think it's also an individual matter. We can have a Jonah moment or we can have a Nineveh moment. Some of you are going to say in your hearts, Pastor, I agree. I want to repent of what I've done. And some are going to say, no, that's okay. Things aren't that bad. But again, it was set up beautifully for the first coming of Jesus. Greatest time of darkness the world had ever seen. And I wonder, if we're not approaching that time, how great is the darkness in which we are living? And that's just reality. It's not a political issue. This is a moral and a spiritual issue. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I wonder, first of all, do you know the day spring? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is there anybody here, by an uplifted hand, who'd say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I've not repented of my sins and invited him into my life to be my Savior. But I'd like to this morning. I'd like to receive him. There's things in my life, there's darkness there. There's trouble. There's some hopelessness. I don't know where my life is headed. I don't know where I'm going. But I'd like you to introduce me to Jesus so that I could have some hope this morning. So that I could have the guilt gone, the guilt removed from my life, and the burden of my sin taken away. Is there anybody here Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Pray for me. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior this morning. Is there anyone? I'm not going to embarrass you at all. Just want to see your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone? Anyone at all? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're a Christian here today, but you're going through a dark time. You're experiencing a dark trial, and you need the day spring. You need him to personally come and visit you today. Could I see your hands just so I can pray for you? Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for your prayer, or your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those that have been honest today to raise their hands. Lord, I know that you desire to meet with them. And I pray today that the day star, the daylight, the breaking of a new day would shine in each of these hearts and in these lives. Lord, that you would fill them with hope. Lord, today that they would realize today that you are an almighty God. You are the God that raised from the dead. You are a God who has power over death. And Lord, you would show yourself gloriously alive and powerful in the lives of those that need you today. Lord, the day spring would arise and visit them this morning in all of your splendor and all your power and all of your glory. Fill these lives, these people with hope. Place hope in their hearts. Place the assurance of your presence and your power and of your victory over their enemies. And that a new day will dawn, a new day will rise, and they will walk in sunshine, and they'll walk in victory. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could we sing Mighty to Save? Can we do that? Let's sing that one more time. These altars, of course, are open if you want to come and spend some time in the presence of God. Have a Jonah moment. These altars are open for that.